Okay, it's been a while. We were Isaac and Hanukkah the last 2 weeks. So we are up to page 127. Mostly it was a Rav Hakdama. We're talking about being able to outgrow the demyonis of our younger years and being able to see with the eyes of the seichel. As valuable as dimyon is in serving Hashem, and as much as imagination fuels our avayda, Pesach Shabbos I was talking about dreams and the significance of what Rav Kook talks about, the chalaimus agdolim, the big chalaimus of Jews, of Yidden. And the whole Indian of Chanukah is a dream that we had in Golus of what things could be like and will be like. Nevertheless, the ikar, of course, has to be that the seichel is shaylait, with the seichel. So, this brings us to the point of this maimer, and we'll end the maimer, Mitzvah Hashem, now. On page 127, the point of this maimer is, how do we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? This is one of the hardest things, since we're children, since we're in the world. And we've been hearing that there's such a thing as the Ribono Shel Olam. We're not quite sure what to think of. With everybody we know, you want to think of a friend. So you, even if it's a tzaddik, and you never met the tzaddik, so you could try to be mitzayah in your mind, some beautiful Jew, and you try to think of that person or thing. Certainly, if there are paintings and pictures, it's easier to remember and to be mitzayah in the mind. But when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ein Lo Guf, D'mus HaGuf, so what do we think about? And it's a problem. How do we think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And it's very hard to outgrow the immature way that we have of thinking of Hashem. But it's very, very important. Achas Yishov, on page 127, Achas Yishov is Labin Yosef Yosef Inyin Havshotas HaSeichel Min HaDimyon. After we've been learning about how to tear away, to peel away the Dimyon by using Seichel, by using the mind, by using Seichel, to peel away the Dimyonis. That's a very big part of our Avodas Hashem. Seichel. Bo Nova El Nekuda Adina V'daka. Now we're ready to talk about an edla nekuda, nekuda pnimis v'amukah shebein ov l'kainai, a very deep inyan that's between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'in lecha ba'olam echad asher v'lechaver b'nekuda zu. And there are no two people who are equal when it comes to this particular point about thinking of Hashem. Yiladim Yehudim Rabim, Yesh Lehem Tzir Pnimi B'Ruach Nafshom Haraka. Many Jewish children have an image Al Melech Ha'olam Yizbaruch Shamay. When thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Melech Ha'olam, Asha Oysai Oivdim V'Elam Esparlam, who were Oivid and who were davening to. We're used to seeing somebody when we talk to the person, and on any kind of a personal level. Of course, you have the telephone or other things, so it's very impersonal. But when you want to talk to somebody, and it's the most important conversation, it's Vayigash Elov. So Vayigash Elov, Yehuda, it's the same Rosh HaTevis as Vayir Elov Hashem, because when you want to approach somebody, you want to see somebody. So Vayigash Elov Yehuda, the Svar Makadoshim tell us that Vayigash Elov Yehuda is really Yehuda. It looks like he's talking to Yeshev Tzadik, but he's really, really talking to Hashem. Yehuda is really crying out to Hashem. It looks like he's talking to Yeshev Tzadik, but he's thinking about Hashem. So this is from the Rosh Tevis of Vayigash Elov Yehuda, the same Rosh Tevis of Vayera Elov Yukevavke Hashem, which we have by Avraham Avinu, that Hashem appeared. When you're talking to someone, you want to be able to to see the person. That's a significant part of the relationship, or the communication depends upon seeing. That's why when you don't see the person, you could be discussing the same subject and there'll be terrible misunderstandings. And if you have the same conversation, you're sitting together with the person, you're talking to the person, you're looking at the person, and it's fine. If the same exact words are said when you're not looking at the person, if the same exact words are said on the phone, this is why I tell all the time the chassanim and the kallahs, before the chassanim, not to bother with the phone. It's just the problems of fights and misunderstandings on the phone. It's better not to talk on the phone than just to say, have a good Shabbos or good night. Because when you're not looking at somebody, so it's very, very hard to read what the words mean and what the person's feelings and thoughts are. So here, one of the most remarkable things is that the Bari Olam says that he wants us to speak to him. But lo yirani ha'odom v'chai. There's no way, we don't know what to think of. There isn't a person in the world who hasn't had this problem. What is it? What are you supposed to do? Af ki mamin hayelad be'emuna shleima mi'idias beis ha'vayisev rabayisev. Even though the child believes 100% in what he was taught by his parents and by his teachers, as shekosav ha'rambam b'yud gimli kari emuna. It's one of the 13 basic principles of our faith that what the Rambam writes, sha'bari yisbarach einoy guf. Hashem is not physical. Lo yisigu mesigi ha'guf. And because of that, lo yisigu mesigi ha'guf, those who think in physical terms cannot be masik Hashem, cannot grasp Hashem. If you're thinking, if you need a physical image to hold on to, you can't think of the Bari Olam. If you need a physical image to hold on to, you can't think of the Bari Olam. Ve'in lo shum dimyon klal. There is nothing in our experience that resembles Hashem. We could only think of things that we've experienced. You see something once in your life, and you could be medama. Oh. So then till 120 you can make comparisons. But if you never saw anything, if you didn't see something, then there's no dimyon. Dimyon means ledamot. Daima, something that's similar, something that resembles. Ein loy dimyon. Ein loy shum dimyon kla. There's nothing. Because we can only think in physical terms. And because Baruch Hu's ein aguf leisigum asiga aguf. And you know the Rambam is very, very, very strong with this inyan. Very strong with this inyan, not to think b'chlal of any image when you talk about Hashem. But the Rambam, this was in the world of Avodah Zarah to think about. The Ravid didn't agree with that. And the Ravid said a very strong lashon about the Rambam. And the Ravid said that there are people who are greater than him, than the Rambam. We're not allowed to talk like that. But there are people who are greater than the Rambam who did think of such things, who did think and visualize in some way. But the psak of the Rambam is a davar muskam by the tzaddikim, with the exception of very, very few rishonim. And even when the Ravid says that, he's not saying that's lechatchila. He just says that it doesn't make you into napi karis. He's not saying lechatchila that was supposed to have any visual image of God. He's just arguing on the Rambam how strong the Rambam is, as the Mefarshim explain. But he agrees that that's not lechatchila. That's not the way we're supposed to think. The komakom mitzdaya beruchai shalsh. Even though the child grows up hearing this, that you're not allowed to have, that there's no picture of Hashem, and he's not a human being that you could imagine him. Nevertheless, the child grows up with some kind of a picture in his head. Even though there's nothing like that in Mitzias, it doesn't exist. So you might imagine some sort of a some sort of a mara, usually like the face, something like a tzaddik, and it's min ha'aretz ad l'shamayim, that goes from the earth to the heaven. And the child chuckles in front of this. He davens. He wants to speak to Hashem. He says the words of davening. Another child has a different picture in his head of who he's talking to. All the time, knowing that I'm not allowed to think of faces and images and pictures, but he can't control himself. Because the child doesn't know any chachmas, he really wants to talk to Hashem. Could be that as we grow older, you and I, so Michael, the child doesn't want to do that. A child wants to really talk to Hashem. He doesn't want to just say words from the Siddur. He wants to talk to Hashem. And since the child's mind is not yet developed, so the only way that he could think is with the imagination, with the Kach HaDimyon. And he's medama certain dimyonis of what Hashem looks like. Ayin roya, oizen shamas. So, from the earliest age, from the earliest time of life, when we open up the Tanakh, or we open up to this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, so we know that the Torah uses the lashon of bnei adam. The Torah uses human terms in speaking about Hashem. So the child grows up hearing that Hashem has an eye in Roya. Hashem has there's an eye that's watching you. So what's an eye? A kid knows what an eye is. So what does an eye look like? So he starts to see like some big eye. Eye in Roya is an eyes and shamans. So the Rambam says over and over again in the first chelik, don't get caught up in these words. It's just these are lishanos. I mean, these are just borrowing terms so that we could somehow relate to this, that Hashem hears everything and Hashem sees everything. It doesn't mean that Hashem's Baruch has an eye or an ear like we have, just like it doesn't mean he has that his Yad Chazak or he has a Zorayin Netuya, that it's a physical arm. It's not physical. And the Rambam, Rav Sadia Gaon, maybe showing him on this Nakuda over and over and over again. But the child hears about the eye and the ear, and he imagines that there's an eye and an ear, isn't shemaz that's prusa b'shemayim yimal, that's up there above in shemayim. Even the way that we from the time that we're little, that we're used to turning our eyes towards shemayim. And reading every single time learning in Tanakh and then saying in davening v'shamayim imal v'alaris mitachas. Ki'ilu there's a Rabbanu Shalom someplace, some mitzias like we have someplace up on top somewhere. Lo yidmus chas Hashem shal ayin v'oyizn rachmar l'tzlan. But if you ask the child, well, you think that God has an eye? You think that God has an ear like you have? The child will say, Rabbi, Chasu Shalom. That's the Aleph Beis of Yiddishkeit, that Hashem's not a guf. Ve'en l'dmus ha'guf. It's no guf. There's nothing physical. And it calls us, Yeniach l'bevoi ruchanis musyamis l'rachif mulo. And still the child grows up allowing some kind of a vague image. It could be a vapor. Could be whatever it is, like a cloud, whatever. Each child, each person grows up with something that's hovering before him when he davens, when he thinks about Hashem. Af ki mamish l'zayis yikari demus, even though that's called a demus. A demus doesn't mean it has to be davke a face or a body. A demus means any physical image or form. Even if it's something like that, like a cloud or some smoke, you know, if you saw the Wizard of Oz too often. Whatever it is. All of the myonis. And then you have, you know, you imagine that there's a voice, and like it's a physical voice. Kil Hashem spoke to the Nevi'im the way that it's like on a cartoon or a television show with God speaking. Talks like always be a deep voice and some kind of a British accent or something. It's a tumus. It's something. It's something of an image. Hayhu Yisbarach Mufshat Mikol Tzur V'Dimyon. Hashem is Mufshat. Mufshat, again, the word Lahavshit means to take off, to peel away. Pashit. Hashem is Pashit. But the Rishonim always use that word Pashit. So it doesn't mean simple, like when you say Pshat, if something is Pashit. It means he's unencumbered by any physicality. He's incorporeal. There's nothing physical. Mufshat Mikol Tzur V'Dimyon Tiyah Eiza Shetiyah. Whether you make it into a face or it's some kind of smoke or something. Ach haDimyon haMeshamish BeEbuvia B'Moach HaYelad. But the mind of a child is a very big cholent of Seichel and Dimyon, with a significant percentage of Dimyon, with a higher percentage than the average child of Dimyonis. So Kram Yashiv is a kushy b'term nolda. Lekach enim is hereves klal o klal. So in the child's head, he uses the dimyon also to answer the question of how is he thinking about any dmus when it comes to the bari olam, and he doesn't, and he imagines this too, that this is not an issue, it's not a question, it's not something that really is anything physical, but the Emes says it is. It's a dmus. It's a dimyon, it's a dmus. And Vayigdal HaYelad, V'lo Yigamel, Ach Lo Yigamel. And the child grows up. That's us. Now we're moving ahead a couple of years. But he's not weaned. He's not weaned yet from this dimyon, from the dimus, from the picture, from the image. It could be that it got a little bit more sophisticated over the years. So maybe it became like digital or something. But he's still living with a dimyon, with a dimus. Yesh v'chalfalav esra shana. Could be really, many decades have already passed. Yiladav and achadav kram espalim, and I said, and his children and grandchildren are now davening. He has a whole family, children, grandchildren, that are davening. V'odenu oymed lefnei Hashem, and this same little boy or little girl who grew up into an adult is still standing before Hashem. And he's a big, fine Eilech Yid, filled with Emunah, and Dveikis to Hashem, and a pure heart. And he says the words, Hashem Yisbarach. Our favorite words. And he says, Hashem Yisbarach. He says, Elokim. Mizdama nechachoy dvar ma. He imagines that there's something in front of him. And even if it's not a conscious thought, it's b'teis ha-hakor, it's a subconscious sense, a feeling. Nira ve'enu nira. Something like seen and unseen. K'may hu atzmai, and it writes to l'hakev, because he himself doesn't want to acknowledge that he's still stuck in that childish way of thinking of Hashem as being a big wizard. So the big wizard is like some different kind of a form, but it's still something physical, which is against halacha, and it's not true. Hashem is not physical. So what happens to a lot of people, they just give up, they just stop thinking about Hashem. And then they just say words. They just say words and they don't have to think. So one of the great innovations of the Mekubalim is to think of Shemus Kedosha. To think of Shemus of Hashem, letters of Hashem's name. Different Shemus. It's one of the big avodas of the Mekubalim is to envision in front of one's mind's, in front of the mind's eye, to see Shemus of Hashem, the Shem Havayah Baruch Hu, and other tzirufim and shilufim of the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, And the Svadish Sidurim, I don't mean Nusach Svar, but by the Svaradim, that almost all of the Sidurim are printed with different ways to help to concentrate on this shame. And then you have Sidurim that are written in Ksav Ashuras, that are written like a Sefer Torah. Some beautiful Sidurim that are written like a Sefer Torah. Was to help, to draw a person into the Oisius instead of letting the mind drift off to that picture of the little boy, a little girl thinking of God. So to try on our level to think of Shemus, but just not to have a thought of something physical and to speak to Hashem, it's very, very hard. The Oisius are also physical. Oh, but that's something, of course, not only are we permitted to think about, but that's very, 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 very good to think about. But of course, Hashem is higher than all of these Isis also. Omeach Shekach, the last paragraph, and because of this, Shemitzis Hashem is Baruch Nirus La'inav Shalei Kamitosa, that the Mitzis of Hashem appears before the eyes of the person in a way that's not true. It's not true. Hashem doesn't have a physical Mitzis. So this is the most important truth of our lives, is Hashem. And our way of thinking about Him is oftentimes visual, to visually imagine some sort of an image. That's what it means to imagine an image, and in doing that, it's terribly ironic. We're actually straying away from the truth. We're talking to and about the greatest truth, the truth of all truths, the only truth, and we're doing it in a way that's not true. Okay, nosam tachas shlitas hadimyon. We're under the control of dimyon, of imagination. Palmim solvish enaraya kanirish asestala. Not only that, but if sometimes the person doesn't have any image in his mind when he speaks to Hashem, he feels like it's a hest upon him, like something's wrong. Lambatastir panachim many, this person thinks, why, God, are you hiding your face from me? I always see that face with a nice long white beard. The only thing that's missing is a red cap and a little for trimming, and that's so. And now he doesn't see anything, so he feels lama tasta panachim. Why are you hiding your face from me? Ki'ilu, when David HaMelech said those words, lama tasta panachim, like David HaMelech used to see a face, and now he doesn't see a face. Chalila. So pam sovish in a roy kanir shas hestala. He feels, I'm not successful, I'm not connecting to Hashem. Because he doesn't see anything. So he's not connecting to Hashem. And as a result of that, we spoke about this a few weeks ago, because these old demyonis linger in our consciousness and our subconsciousness, we become dependent upon them. It's the nature of a person. We all depend very, very much on things that we're familiar with from when we're children. And we're all very comfortable with things that we remember and that we have seen since we're children. When there's something that we have never seen, we become anxious, we're uncomfortable. As you know, that there are people who will descend into terrible things only because they're comfortable with that, because they grew up with terrible things, so they will continue on with terrible things. It's the nature of a human being. That there's a certain level of comfort that gives him, even though it's not good. So what happens is, that this person now feels that he can't daven. Since he doesn't have this image, which he normally has, or some kind of a feeling of the presence of Hashem in some kind of a way that he could relate to, he doesn't feel that there's anybody there. There's no one there that he's talking to. He can't open up his mouth. He can't open his mind or his heart. Even though nothing has happened to Hashem, Hashem didn't go anywhere. Because Hashem is not physical to begin with. Hashem didn't go away. But in that world that the child built in his mind, something has gone wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left me. Because that world that the child built stays somehow with the person as he grows into an adult. That picture, that image. And if it's not the way that it's supposed to be, then the person feels that he's not connecting to Hashem. And he can't see Hashem, he can't feel Hashem in his life. And the person imagines that there's some sort of hestapam, that Hashem has gone away, Hashem has left. Of course they'll say Hashem exists, but I don't have anything to do with him, because I don't have that image anymore. Page 128. The Choyval Yehudi lehiz bagir. It's an obligation for a Jew to grow up. Now, you wrote at the beginning that this maimer could cause people to be a little bit upset. And I know that as we're learning this, it's very easy for this to make us uncomfortable. Because when you tell somebody that you have the wrong picture in your head, then the nice thing to do is to give them the right picture. Meaning the nice thing that you do is, no, that's not what that person looks like. Here's what the person looks like. Like, there's a famous picture of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim didn't look anything like that, right? I think by this time everybody knows that's not what the Chofetz Chaim looked like. That thing that they put on all the Shemis HaLashem things and whatever, he didn't look like that. And I know Jews who learn by the Chofetz Chaim, and they get very annoyed by that. They say he didn't look anything like that. And there are one or two pictures that we have of the Chofetz Chaim. You see, he did not look like that. Drawing, whatever that is. Just like we had the Rambam on our notebooks when we were little. I don't know how long ago they stopped doing that. When I was a kid, the Machberes had the Rambam. He looked like this. He looked like the Sultan of Turkey or something.
He had no payas.
Yeah, he had no payas, and he had a little short trimmed beard. And he was just missing a necktie. He'd be set to go. He'd be ready to go onto the train and to work. The Rambam. At least they wouldn't stop him in an airport because he looks like an Arab, so they wouldn't stop him in the airport. It's not nice racial profiling. But, you know, your whole life, you go to the Rambam, like, not stupid. Who made that picture on the Machberes? Like, we got, from first grade, we're doing, you know, to get in the lines, right? And they get the Rambam on the cover there. That's the Rambam. And then you go to buildings and this and that. At least in Spain, by the statue, his beard's not trimmed. They let him have a long beard. But the Machberes gave him a trimmed beard. They made him like a, you know, professor. And it's very hard to. So you say, don't think the Rambam didn't look like that. Okay, right. So then you could take away the picture from the Machberes, but then you give a different picture. So then what you make the Rambam? Then you make another picture of Rambam. So you give him a nice long beard. And you give him some payas. And the turban this time. He did wear a turban. You can leave the turban on, and then you have poof. You have a nice Rambam. So now it's not. Now it's no longer the Rambam. So now you put it instead. You put whose picture? They have the Beni Shchai's picture. Beni Shchai is a beautiful, beautiful Jew. He looked like a Jew, and there are great grandparents who might have even seen the Beni Shchai's not so long ago. I mean, not now would be very hard to. But it's not that long ago, and the Beni Shchai looked like that. There is a photograph of the Beni Shchai, not just the painting. There's pictures of Beni Shchai. Okay, that looks like a nice Radish Yitzhak, Beni Shchai. So now instead, so you make the Beni Shchai, you take off the Beni Shchai, then you make the Rambam. Like they have in the sukkahs, we used to have, you ever see the thing with all the Rishonim that has the Rif, has Rashi, all these pictures. No. What wedding they were at, that somebody took a picture of Rashi and the Rif, and that picture, you ever see? And he goes like this, the Rashi looks like this, the Rif looks like that, and have this picture of Balshan. There are some paintings where there's possibility of some truth to them, and that have some Messiah. But certainly, that's when we're talking about Achrayim, but we don't have by Rishonim such thing to have Rashi. But okay, so But you know that Rashi looked like a human being, so you could try to you could put your Zaydi's face in there and you're okay. So he looked like a human being, so you could put the Chavos Chaim, you put the Moshe Feinstein, you put the Baba Rebbe was beautiful. So you put the Baba Rebbe and you make Rashi a little bit, so you make a little different clothing, and you make underneath it's Rashi, so you made a Rashi, fine. You're in the ballpark. Rashi looks something like the Baba Rebbe, because they're both human beings. And they sort of something. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so now what makes us uncomfortable is that we're just reviewing. He's not saying any chesed, he's just saying over the Rambam, right? There's nothing here that's new, he's just saying over the Rambam. That lo yisigu masige haguf. There's no dimyon at all, Tasha. But then, for a human being, so if you're going to take away my toy, then you got to give me another one. If you're going to take away my picture that I carry in my wallet of God, then you got to put another picture. You can't just leave me like this without anything. But that's what it means to grow up. The seichel. And that the seichel should be misgaber and misbager. To be strong and to be mature. To be able to think of something in a completely abstract way, which is hard for us. If you think for a minute that you and I wouldn't be throwing in our gold to the eagle as if you're making a mistake, we would also be tossing our stuff into the eagle. Because it's a mechai to have an eagle as if. It's a mechai. It fills a very, very, very deep need in a human being to have an eagle as if. And those were very religious people back then. And they wanted to serve this new Rabban Shalom that there was all this talk about this new Rabban Shalom. They wanted to serve him. So that's what they were comfortable with. So the Indian that they had with an eagle, so we look at them, what kind of primitive people are these? They're making a golden calf. You know, their Indian was of the Merkava. It was something very deep. And we think that we're past that. We're not past that. In their world, that was something which they connected to. And each person in his own world, what he connects to. The Chayva Yehudi, the top of 128, it's an obligation on a Jew, his bagir, v'lifol benafshay, tnua brua, shall have shot this at dimin malaseich. We have to make an effort to tear away the dimin from the seich. To tear away. L'islamed mitzias pshuta betachlis apashtis, to begin to be able to think as adults, betachlis apashtis, pashtis. Shashem is baruch hu mitzias ruchanis. That Hashem is baruch exists, he's the only true existence. He's the only absolute existence. And because of that, he can't possibly be physical. Kel chai v'kayim. Loloi called Tsur Vidaimala Daimala. Kel Chai Vikaim, he always was, is and will always be, can't be physical. Nothing physical was, is and will be. And there's nothing that resembles him at all. Ukfisha Yachiva Bhsida Shashemsbach and a Rahman, Kyusbach and a Balgvul, and a Mukhir Lushum Midai Teva. And the same way when we used I don't know why just as Chassidus, really, the Rishon, the Rabbi Yehuda Levi, the Rambam, and Rabbi Mechai, they all talk about this, that even when we speak about Hashem's Midas, we say Hashem is an Aver Achman. He's a compassionate and loving father. It doesn't mean Rachman is the way that you and I use Rachman is. The way that we use Rachman is that you're just going about your own business, and everything was great, And then you heard that something terrible happened, like this the other day, there was this Russia went and killed children. And then you, my mother just told me that there was a Jewish child also. There was a Jewish child. Yeah. You feel, you're hoping in one place that would, I mean, it's bad that anybody got killed, but you're hoping that in that place there wouldn't be Jewish children, two Jewish children. And now Jewish children all over the country are scared, Jewish children and non-Jewish children are scared. Someone's going to come to their school and because of their demyonis. Now, for a child, it means that every school is a dangerous place, and anybody that walks to the building could be killing them. And it's, but the rachmanis that you feel is because something came. You heard about the children that were killed. Oh, you say rachmanis. And that feeling of rachmanis means something changed inside of you. You feel rachmanis, the parents rachmanis. Achmanis. And Hashem's Baruch is not a Baal Gvul. He's not a Baal Shinui, that there are moods that overtake him and that there are changes. If you say that a person's a Rachman, that means you're limiting him, you're putting him into a certain box. It means he's a Rachman, he's not this, he's this, he's not that. And all the Rishonim talk about this. That's not just Nechzir Swami, it's from the Rishonim. So when we speak about Hashem being a Rachman, we don't say that we're defining Hashem as having a certain quality as opposed to another quality. Like you say, oh, he's a nice guy. He's a Rachman. Which would mean that he could be not a Rachman. Or he could be something. It's not defining Hashem. All the Rishonim explain this. It just means that to our understanding, right now, he's acting in the way of Rachmanis. Or we're asking Hashem, Avinu Avraham Rachim Alein, to behave towards us, to treat us like a father who is Merachman his children. Not to say that this is his personality, Chalil, that we are able to talk about the Etzem of Hashem, who he is. The surest thing we could say about Hashem that the Rishonim say that we can't talk about is that he's Chai, that he's alive. But that doesn't mean that he has biological... It means that he exists, but we don't understand his existence at all. Because in a Baal Gvul, in a Mechuyiv, L'shum Midai Teva, Ela Paul Ubar V'Hetzel Midas Rachma, B'Boichi L'Hanik B'Shosh Shoreitzu B'Kach, Ela what? Hashem created something called Midas Rachma. Hashem created Midas Rachma. And right now, Hashem is choosing to use, to activate, and to act towards the world, or towards that person, with this Svira, with this Midas. So the infinite light of Hashem is channeled through this midah that's called Rachmim. This midah is called Rachmim, and it comes out. Comes out for the one who benefits from that as Rachmim. Hashem is Baruch Hanim Mitzias Ruchanis. Em is Kefi Shehi. Without any descriptions, without a resume. Ain't Sharis Loiba Ilam Zeva, Loiba Ilamacher, Lahasigalavati Bedar Kalshi, as that's Musi's Baruch Shamay. It's not possible to talk about Hashem's essence, not in this world or any other world. The Malachim also, they don't know. Ayyem Akan Kirada, they're just as lost as we are. When I say just as lost, they understand more about the Midas Arachim that it's Mizgala, but about Kivyochel himself, about the Barilam himself. The Malachim also, Ayyem Akan Kirada. Shoylem Zelazah. No, nobody knows. Loylem Zer Loylem Achil, Lahosig Levati, but there are Kolshi, as Atzmusi's Boshmo, to describe the Atzmus of Hashem, who he is. Kol Hashem Yedei Yehudi al Hashem Ezbarach, Vezoy Chalasis Vitzaynay. Anything that we could know about Hashem. And to be Zoych to do Hashem's will. Hakol he knows chus lavoid avoida tamer lefnei mitzias ruchanis. Our biggest chus is that we're zeichet to live lives that are true. That Hashem Ezbach told us that He wants us to do these things that we do, and to live this way, and to spend our entire lives talking to and being oivid in mitzias ruchanis. A mitzias ruchanis is not less of a mitzias. Okay, that's more of a mitzias. Even inside of ourselves, even in our little way of living, a mitzias in ruchnius really is more than a mitzias in gashmius. People are prepared to die for a mitzias in ruchnius, for a feeling, for a certain emotion, not for something, not for a thing, for a feeling, for an emotion. A mitzias in ruchnius is much, much, much infinitely greater than a mitzias in gashmius. That's everything. Hashem is everything is elokus, and the mind can't grasp it. There is no place without God. But the mind can't grasp this at all. The sichlo b'nim yarnay. Kol she'anu mishabchim mefarim mevarchim. What we praise Hashem and we say the brachas when we bench Hashem. Hakol ach v'rak legiluy v'zbarach. All we're able to talk about is how Hashem is misgalat to us in this world. How he makes himself known to us and revealed to us through his actions, through his midas and spheres and so on in this world. And yet we have to be very, very careful, as all the Mekubalim teach us. And there's a great deal written about this in the Sefer Kabbalah, that you're not davening to the spheres. You're not davening to his midas. You're davening to him. You have to be very careful. You're not davening to the Shemus. You're not davening to spheres. You're davening to the Bari Olam. Hakol ach v'rak v'ligiluy av yizbarach shnezgalim midoysev v'pulaysev v'shmoysev v'kdoysev. But what we know about Hashem is how he was misgalat to us through his midas and through his shemus hakadoshim and so on. Ram ein achiza seichel adimyon aneshama v'muhusi yizbarach shamayim. But the mind and the imagination and even the neshama cannot grasp the mahus, even the neshama. So the neshama of a yid is higher than a malach. Even the neshama can't grasp the mahus of Hashem. And even when we're 120 and we're finished with the guf, and we're no longer a mesige haguf, that doesn't mean that we can understand Kivyachal himself. Afilo amalochim enim esigim b'yizbarach. Afilo nishmas ha-tzadikim in Gan Eden. Even the nishamas of the tzadikim in Gan Eden. Ein lehen ha-saga. They don't have a ha-saga. Vim kol zois ne'enim iziv ha-shechina. And nevertheless, everything we say about the malachim, and everything we've been taught about the malachim, is that they have an unbelievable hanah from being there with the Ziva Shechina, the radiance of Hashem, of the Shechina, that the Malachim are enjoying, even though they don't see anything. Because even in that world of the Malachim, it's not something that a Malach can understand. But the Nenim is Ziva Shechina. And we too can be nanimiz of Hashem, not just after we die, but in our lives we can be nanimiz of Hashem. Not in the same way, because as long as we're in the guf, it's much, much harder to think in such a way of pure ruchnius. And there are always things that are blocking. As we've often discussed, even if you just try to sit to sit quietly and to think about nothing, I'm not thinking about anything. So you're starting to think the whole time, is this nothing? I guess this is nothing. That's not nothing. That's the beginning of meditation, is not to think of anything. Which is old-fashioned Avodas Hashem. That's how Jews are supposed to train themselves to think. It's not in Eastern, the people think that comes to us from India or someplace. But you have to begin by being able to empty out your mind and not think of anything, because that's the beginning of Ruchnius. All meditation begins with the emptying out of the mind. But just try to do it for a minute or two. Try to hold on for a minute, for 30 seconds. Only people who are in the parish of meditation can do that. But somebody that never does that, I'm talking about, when I speak about meditation, I'm talking about Bekdusha, I'm talking about Jewish meditation. But a person who doesn't do that, who's not used to it, you can't go for more than 30 seconds, guaranteed. So you think, so you look at these, and then you realize, that's Casino Park. Not with the green, but like in the snow. You're looking like it's something that's not good. So then you think, then you see some clouds pass by. Or you think thoughts about how you're thinking. I'm really trying to make this happen. But that's not nothing. That's the beginning of thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Or we never taught to do that in school. No one ever spoke to us about that. Just that here's a siddur. Talk to God. It's picture's not on the cover. The first thing you look for when you get a book is to see who. And the most wonderful thing is when you have pictures inside of a book, so you see who the characters are. Right? You look to see, oh, that's who this is. I mean, you get a book that, since we're children, they give us these books, and then you look, there's no pictures. But then they didn't tell us, so then what are you supposed to think about if there are no pictures? We don't know how to think like that without pictures, especially now more than ever, because everything is so visual. Everything is so many pictures. Everything is pictures. Even when you go, I saw this for the first time when I went, four years ago, we were in Eretz Yisrael. So I went, a relative, there was somebody sitting shiva, so I went to make a shiva call, and they had of the mace, they had pictures of the mace, which people will show, you know, to show the picture of the mace. But this wasn't, it was on a thing, a machine where the pictures were changing all the time. It was electric. You didn't have to press, it was just changing the pictures. You're looking at the picture, and then there's something else going on. There's a different picture in a second. An album that moves, that's alive or something, except the guy's dead. But otherwise, the pictures are constantly changing. This is how our children are growing up. With the finger going across the screen, moving pictures, moving things all the time, like that. So everything is with pictures, with images. Everything. So it's interesting. The world is more advanced than it ever was, but in that respect, it's closer to the Egel Azov than it's ever been. We're much closer to idolatry in that way, to relying upon images, than we've ever been. It's more difficult to think in an abstract way than ever before, because abstract thinking is like something of the past. You don't have to even add numbers in your head. You don't have to even remember phone numbers. You have it on your phone. That's the one thing that I learned how to do with the phone, and I have all the. I don't even know these phone numbers are. I used to know all the phone numbers, and I don't know any phone number. I see the phone. Somebody asks me for one of my children's phone, I get mixed up. I have to look on my phone to find my children's phone numbers. Because I never looked at the phone number. I mean, I don't have to remember. I don't have to think about it. I just see it. Everything's seeing. So more than ever, even though we've progressed so much, but in that way, there's a dependency on images, on pictures, on things that you see, not the things that you believe in. You don't have to believe in. You don't have to. There doesn't have to be a metzias ruchanis, even on the smallest level of metzias ruchanis. This is also contributing to the dimness of emunah in our times, that the emunah is so weak. Children grow up now, they don't access a part of themselves that's ruchnistic. Because everything is gashmis. Everything is gashmis. If you wanted to find out about some place in China, you had to write a paper on some place in China. So at least you had to take, I mean, when I was a kid, so we had to go to the library in Jamaica. So it means you had to take the Q44, and you have to get off and go to the Jamaica library. And you have to go to the shelves. This is already talking about 45 minutes an hour, and to go find a book, and to take down a book, and to open up a book, and to find this place in China, and you can see some pictures. So at least there was an hour or two to think about what the place must look like. Not now. You tell him the place in China, he goes like, before you finish saying the sentence, he already shows you on his phone. Yeah, this is the place in China. You didn't even finish saying the sentence. Like happened last year once in the Chabura. Somebody asked me, when did the Lemberger Rav Sholem Eishev live? So I said, Sholem Eishev. I was going like this, because I know when it is. I go, Sholem Eishev. And then one of the guys says, 1840. I didn't even think about it yet. I mean, I'm slowing down a little bit, but I knew I just needed like 30 seconds to get there. He didn't give me a chance. He was already, he has the whole life, Lemberger Rav, and he's got the whole story, where he was born, where he died, where he's buried, picture of the Mitzvah, everything, whatever you want. Here you go. It's very convenient, but it's taking away a certain way of thinking, an abstract spiritual way of looking at things, of thinking about things, because of the immediacy of physical images. We don't know exactly what toll this is taking on us. You don't feel this. It just happens to you. When the kids are growing up like this, we didn't grow up like this. I mean, there's some here that if you're 20, 25, you grew up already with it's already growing up with these things. But if you're 35, 40, 50 years old and older, so you didn't, it's not part of the consciousness from when we were children. So at least when we were children, we didn't have this. But now, and all of a sudden you tell the same kid who's used to everything on his iPhone or his iPad and to Google this and to Google that, you say to him, there's a virtual, yeah, what's his website? And he doesn't have a website. God doesn't have a website? Facebook? No. Twitter, something. Then he doesn't exist. If there's no Facebook, he doesn't exist. It's harder. Why the Baruch Hashem made these nisyonos before Mashiach comes, before his Mezgalik, these Baruch Shemai, before there'll be Hashem Echad Shemai, why he made such nisyonos just in Emunah Pshuta? That's what it means, Emunah Pshuta, means Pshut, stripped of all the layers of the nisyonos. Why it's the nisyonos before Mashiach comes, just to have the simple Emunah of a nice, simple Jew, from 100 years ago, from 30, 40 years ago, to have just Emunah Pshuta. Which is very, very hard now. He gives a marshal, but the marshal is not really such a good marshal. He's usually a mishal magavala, but he himself says, in parentheses, marshal rach gedevsh ein tzula tchunas abusha ha-simcha. If someone says to you, I'm happy, so you say, what does happiness look like? I'm embarrassed. What does that look like? Busha, shame, what does it look like? But the real, when you're happy, that's something that's real. When you're embarrassed, that's real. As I said before, people die for those things. People die for those things. Even though someone will say, wait, show me what this is. What you're embarrassed? What's that? What did someone just tell me yesterday? Yeah. Someone told me. I don't know the whole story. Somebody from Shul told me that there was something with England, with the prince or princess. I don't know what this is about, exactly what happened, but there was some nurse in a hospital that made a mistake and she was embarrassed, something about the prince, or I don't know which prince, but a princess, something that she had a baby, she didn't have a baby, but it was something that they called up the hospital and this nurse was not supposed to give away information about somebody from the royal family in England who was over there, who was expecting, and this Indian nurse made a mistake and she gave away the information that the next princess the next princess or something is expecting. So somebody told me that this Indian lady killed herself from Busha. She killed herself. I think it says she was a mother of children. Killed herself over such an Indian. Over such a thing of being embarrassed. People will kill themselves when they say, I'm dying of embarrassment. This lady killed herself because she was megala the side of some mushcheses that's expecting. Who cares? When she killed, the human life is gone. A mother, their children are now orphans because of such a dimion that she couldn't be madame in her head. How can I go on in this world knowing that I told the newspaper, whoever called, I told the newspaper that the princess is expected? I can't go on living for such a thing. Busha. And it's a real thing. And if you say to her, well, I don't feel so nice, who cares? It's not such a big deal. The biggest deal in the world. Because Adam Chash, I said, believe you feel in your heart, Nifalim, and it causes you to it affects you. Lamar say, yes, built you by the tzura, even though it doesn't have any physical tzura. This is such a thing. Kach Mashom, while Hashem is Bokshin, Nisto, Muflim, and Hasaki, we can't understand him. Aval Nigbil of Avas, he's only revealed in our hearts. That's what it means, not an image. In here. Harayt Shalahachiv in Yinzer, if someone wants to understand this more, Lahasu B'Kar HaSeichel, to strengthen the Kar HaSeichel, to be able to think the right way about Hashem, Ma'at v'na ma'at k'fish erkei begilim achus yisbrach, that we were supposed to think about Hashem, ha'tzuchim l'fanav sifreim ha'kadeshim shal tamni yav Hashem ha'kod. This is a big subject, and it's from the Talmid of Hashem, especially b'yaseh b'svarim shal balatanya, b'talmid of b'shar v'svarim ha'kadeshim. This is especially true of the Chabad Svarim. This is what Chabad Svarim are 99% of Isaac in these inyanim, of how to think and how to meditate upon Hashem. And especially from all the Svarim of the balatanya, the Shayich of Emunah, was just now, the last week, there came out a new parish in the Shayich of Amunah from the Shiyum of the great Mashpir, Rabbi Al Khan. They put out a sefer on the Shayich of Amunah. That whoever wants to learn the Shayich of Amunah, to learn the Shayich of Amunah, to understand how do you think about God, Shayich of Amunah. This is a big subject in the Svarim HaKadoshim. How to meditate, how to think, how to empty out the mind, and how to think Yichudim, Yichudi Yisbarach Shammai. Yichudi Lo, Yichudi Tatar, this is all the Chabad Svarim on this Nakuda. Asher Pasach HaTani B'Soyfsef Svaro, which the Tani was originally going to make, as I'm sure everybody knows, Tani was originally going to put Shayich Vemun at the beginning. At the end, he decided to put the Sefer Shabbatim at the beginning, and then to put afterwards Shayich Vemun. He was originally going to put Shayich Vemun, because it's the Hakdama to believing in God. So why he put the Inyan of knowing ourselves before knowing God, that's an interesting, that's not for now. But he was originally going to put the Inyan of knowing God before putting knowing ourselves. Tanya, the first part, what we have printed, is knowing ourselves. And Shayich Vemun is knowing Hashem. So he decided, Tanya, to put that afterwards. But the first... Because the Pesach, to be a person that's going to want to know Hashem, is to know what the Neshama is. So he put that first. And the Shayich V'Emun of the Tani is a Mava K'nisa L'Avonis Amitis B'Shar Sifrei HaPnimis V'Machshava. And if you learn Shayich V'Emun, that's a Hakdama to all the other Svarim of Pnimis and Machshava. Shekodmu Lo V'Shabo'achu V'Shehem Oitz V'Yishchar Mi'Yikarim B'Tevel V'Yipim V'Yikarim D'Shosim V'Ho'imdim U'Mi'yada Ech Nirem Hayinu Biladim. What would our lives be like, and what would we look like if we didn't have the Svarim HaKadoshim to help us understand what it means to talk about Hashem, to talk to Hashem. Mr. Hashem, we'll continue not next Monday night, but the following Monday night.